Welcome to the Leadership in Context podcast with Keith Tusey. The mark of vision is not complication. The mark of vision is clarity.
Hi, this is Keith Tusey, and welcome to Leadership in Context, where we are helping believers live out their faith in the context of the culture and their local church. Hey, I'm going to do some podcasts on vision. It's been a while since we've done some of those things, and I know those are very critical leadership sharpening skills, and apparently people tell me it's something that I have some insight on, so I'm going to follow through and talk about this. I want to talk to you about vision. We're going to do probably at least four podcasts on this, so I think you're going to collect all these. This will be the first one, okay? And so I want to just talk about vision. When I say the word vision, what comes to your mind? So many times I've come to people have come to me and say, you know, Pastor Keith, I just don't know if I have any vision. And then usually after I just talk to them very briefly, I found out that they do have vision, but they have a wrong appreciation for what vision is. They're looking for something that's very complicated and very intricate. The mark of vision is not complication. The mark of vision is clarity. I'm on first base, and I can see where second base is, and that's where I'm going. That's what vision is. I think a lot of times people make it more mystical as opposed to being spiritual. I think one of the other things that I've really learned about myself and working with other people is there is a difference between vision and focus. Vision is the inspiration part of it. And focus is the discipline part of it. Vision makes things clear. Focus makes things practical. You know, I had somebody say to me one time, they said, well, I'm just a visionary person, and I'm just very focused on this one thing. And they were using that as a reason why so many other things in their life were falling to the ground. And here's what I said to them. I said, my friend, you are not focused. You are distracted, because vision sees things in context. Vision sees what's needed to be done with the canvas behind it. It sees the big plan. It sees that part in relation to the big plan. And if you only see that one part, then you're distracted by it, and that thing will actually mislead you. Here's how I would say it. Good focus is a discipline, A, and B, focus has peripheral vision. Focus is able to drive down the road and use your side view mirrors, okay? And that requires some discipline. That will keep you in your lane, so to speak. And you can't always just invoke vision. You do need to be inspired. Understand that. You know, for me, I usually need a word of the Lord or some prophetic stirring to move in that direction. But once I see that, I think where my strength is not that I have great vision, it's that I have good focus. When I look at the things I've done in my life, you know, they're not real complicated. They're not real mystical. They're not hard to explain. They're not hard to figure out. They're just maybe not the easiest thing to do sometimes. And that requires focus. That requires standing on first base and saying whatever's between here and there, my only option is to get there, okay? So seeing things in light of the big picture is the discipline of focus. I think there are people that get inspired by vision. God stirs something up in their heart, but they don't have the capacity, or they haven't learned the capacity of having focus. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why you want to work with people that have vision, even when it's not your vision, because that will teach you focus. That'll teach you the discipline of making the plan and staying on the plan that was worked out. That is focus. That's the discipline of it, not just the inspiration of it. I know many inspired leaders that cannot get traction, quite frankly, in many different fields, not just in ministry, but in business and family and cultural engagement across the field. And it doesn't mean that what they're feeling or seeing is inaccurate. What it means is they've lost the understanding on how to make the next step. And I would say this to you, this will help somebody. If you know the next step to take, you're not lacking vision. Say that out loud. If you know the next step to take, you are not lacking business. You're not lacking vision. But see, sometimes you can get so caught up in the doing of something, you miss, like, why am I doing this? You're missing the canvas. You're missing where that picture fits on the wall. You know, one of my favorite stories is the Wright brothers, you know, the guys that really we credit for the aviation industry. And I have read a lot on them. I've read several books on them because I find it very intriguing. And you know what kind of business they were in? They were in the bicycle business. They had a bicycle shop and they were building bicycles. Bicycles were big transportation at that time. And the internal combustion engine was now being made. And there were people all over the country building cars long before, you know, Ford invented the assembly line to mass build them. And the Wright brothers actually had a guy that worked for them who was very bright that had a car design. And they told him, look, there's no future in cars. There's just too many unknowns. They're undependable. There's no roads. But at the same time, listen, while they're telling him there's no future in cars, they had a vision for an airplane. I think that's hilarious, personally. But there's great lessons out of it, and there's some gotcha lessons out of it. I think the one gotcha lesson is this. They got so excited about, they were more into flying than they were transportation. See, bicycle was transportation. A car was transportation. But flying was the thrill of it. And a lot of times people get excited in church about the thrill of doing something and they lose track of that canvas. They lose track of the big picture of where does this fit in? And they just have, you know, great worship times or great outreach or a great teaching or a great meeting. And it's like, okay, that was great, but did we move off of first base? Did we get any closer? Or when we come back and do this again, are we going to be right where we started just having had a great experience? And, oh, that was the best jog I ever had down to first base. Are you with me? Okay. Of course, the other side of it is they had vision that they could envision an airplane before they could, you know, see the car rolling down the road. So that's pretty incredible, but it goes to the point I'm trying to make that you can see something that is very, you know, afar off and get very infatuated with it. You can lose peripheral vision and not be focused on your next step, but be focused on something that's way out beyond you, okay? So you want to maintain peripheral vision. That's where focus comes from. See, you can have great eyesight. You can have 20/20 eyesight or better. But if you don't know how to focus, if you don't know how to bear down on something, then you're going to miss it. So vision is not just about inspiration. It's about the discernment to train yourself to see. You know, Ephesians 1, the Apostle Paul prayed really the New Testament prayer. We talk about the Lord's Prayer, but really Ephesians 1 is a New Testament prayer that we would have eyes to see what the calling of our inheritance is. So that's really, really something. Because two people can look at the same thing and they can describe, they can give you a intellectual picture of it and still miss what that information can do. You know, I'm a big baseball fan. I like baseball. I love the nuances of baseball. And you know, when you talk about hitters, really good hitters, and remember, if you strike out 2 out of 3 times, if you're 1 for 3, you are like really good in baseball. So that's one of the hardest things in sport is to be a 300 baseball hitter, to be 1 for 3. If, you know, if you're a basketball player and you're 1 for 3 shooting, you're not too good. If you're a quarterback and you're 1 for 3 passing, you're not too good. But in baseball, if you're a hitter and you're 1 for 3, you're not only good, you're very good. And so what does that tell you? It tells you that that focus on that ball and hitting that ball is not just pure athleticism. Obviously, there has to be some athletic ability. But, you know, there are hitters out there who, when you look at them, they're not the most robust physical specimen you've ever seen. But what these men have in common is the ability to concentrate and to focus. If you've ever stood at a major league plate and looked at the mound, it looks like it's at the end of your arm. And you have a 6-foot guy out there, and he's winding up and stretching his arm, and he's throwing a ball at you, sometimes at over 100 miles an hour. And that ball is leaving his hand and getting to you so fast, it's incredible. And some of these guys, listen to me, who are really good hitters, they know what kind of pitch is coming. They know whether it's a fastball or a sinker ball or a curveball, because they can literally see how the ball is spinning. Now, that's eye power. That's focus. And I'll be the first to say this. Not everybody is going to have that tool. So you can have somebody who's a great athlete. You know, Michael Jordan tried to play professional ball, baseball, after he took a break during basketball. After he was an all-star, he decided he was going to go play baseball. He could not hit the ball. He's a pretty good athlete, wouldn't you say? I say he had pretty good discipline and all that kind of stuff. But his eyes were not trained on picking up that ball coming out of the pitcher's hand. And so, you know, in studying baseball over the years, you know, what the baseball coaches try to say is, you got to see that ball bigger. You've got to picture it bigger. And so there's things they'll do. Like, they encourage guys, they're having a hard time seeing the ball, like in batting practice, to bunt. Bunt is where you just, for the people listening who might not know baseball, you just stick the bat out. You're not trying to hit it far. You're just trying to drop it in front of the pitcher where you can run to first base before he can run off the mound and get the ball and get you out, okay? Why do they tell them to bunt, or at least in batting practice? So that they're squaring around and both eyes are staring at the ball. In other words, they're training their back eye. Because if you're a right-hand hitter, your left-hand eye is facing the pitcher. If you're a left-hand hitter, your right eye is facing the pitcher. So when you're squared around, both eyes are focusing on the ball and picking the ball up. So that's something they do to try to train your eyes. The other thing they do is they tell you to get in a batting cage or get a pitcher or getting a pitching machine that is actually going to throw the ball faster to you than you're going to see in the game. Now, this is great for younger kids, especially because, you know, they're playing ball. It's 50 mile an hour, then it's 60 mile an hour, then it's 70 mile an hour, then it's going to be the 80 mile an hour. So if you get that kid in batting practice and you're throwing him that pitch 8 or 10 miles an hour faster than he's going to see it in the game, his eyes are adjusting. And so when he gets to that ball and it's coming at him slower, his eyes literally are slowing that thing down and seeing it. So these are disciplines, is what I'm telling you. So you can have vision, but if you don't have the discipline of really seeing, okay, seeing, like, let's say you're out in the woods and you're with somebody who really knows the woods, and they're like, look, there's a deer, look, there's a rabbit. And you're looking like, where's it at? Well, their eyes are trained to see those things that are blending in. That's a discipline. You could have the vision for bringing home a deer, but if you don't have the focus of seeing the deer, you're not going to get it. And then interestingly, what they also teach these guys in batting practice, if I'm a right-hand hitter, to turn around and take some batting practice batting left-handed. Not seriously, but again, why? Because now I'm taking that peripheral vision of the other side of my face, and I'm getting that eye locked in, so I'm using all my faculties as much as I can. I think there's some real spiritual implications there. But I wanted to talk to you about the difference between vision and focus. Many of you listening to me, you do not have a vision problem. You have a focus problem. And that requires discipline. That requires staring things down and examining them so you can see when that ball is coming at you 100 miles an hour, you're able to see how that thing is spinning. Now, that's available for everybody else to see. Maybe they have the faculties to do it, and maybe they don't. But you're disciplining yourself to do it. Hey, I'm going to keep talking about vision, but I really wanted to get that one down and in your kind of knapsack. And hopefully it meant something to you and you can share this with somebody. Hey, this is Keith Tusey for Leadership in Context.
There is a difference between vision and focus. Vision is the inspiration part. Focus is the discipline part. Vision makes things clear and focus makes things practical. Thanks for listening this week to another episode of Leadership in Context with Keith Tusey. Join us next week as Keith continues to equip believers to lead in every area and venue of life. As always, subscribe, like, rate, and share our podcast. To contact Keith or ask him a question, email podcast@nrpastors.com. If you would like more information, you can check out our website, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram @nrpastors. See you next week.